The Lord. Praise Jesus. The year we, at the beginning of this year, we declare the theme as an open door. And when we look at the back of our bulletin, we can still see there, the year of open doors. And we thank God for what God has done for every one of us. He has helped us. He had led us thus far. He has blessed us. He has visited us in different ways. And he has done marvelous things for us so far. And I'm believing God, I'm trusting him that that which he has started is going to complete it in Jesus' name. And we've listened to several sermons, several messages. We've listened to several Bible studies. We've done a lot of things this year. And I believe at the same time, many of us, we've passed through challenges in life. Even in this, the same year 2018. But I have a word for us that no matter what we have passed through in year 2018, it is not over until it is over. Because the Almighty God will take total control. Because the Almighty God who works in the affairs of men will work on our behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. The remaining part of this year, the Almighty God will visit us in a special way in Jesus' name. When God is about to do things in people's life, there are so many ways he does that, he accomplishes that. And this year, God has spoken to us in different ways. And today, by the special grace of God, we will continue from where we stopped last week. And one of the things we said last week, I'm going to give you the topic for the sermon later. There are four things we mentioned last week. We said a person that God will use, there will be four things that will happen, or four characteristics of a person that God will use. Who will remind me what are those things that we mentioned? There are four things that was mentioned last week. I'm not going to preach this morning. What are the four things? Bless you. The person will be interrupted. Yes? God bless you, ma. We still have two more. You know, yes? There's a price, yes. What is the last one? Huh? It will be reward. Where? Eternal life. There will be eternal life. You know, I've advocated things in the past, and I'm still going to mention it. That when we come to church, let's learn the habit of writing. We've said it over and over, and I think there was a year I brought a notebook my sermon book since 1992, I brought it here. And it was as neat as this one that I'm having at that time, at that few years ago. So when you don't write, it is difficult for you to remember things. And this year, like I have mentioned it, this one was bought for me. Members of the church bought this one for me. In fact, they bought two for me because the one I was using was a big one. I finished it. I started using it since 2014. It got finished last year, and I got these two as a gift at the beginning of this year. So writing will help us to understand some of the things that we've looked at. Sometimes I have to go back and look at some of the messages that have been preached in the church and reflect on them. We said, a man that God will bless, God will interrupt their lives. We also said, please, can you help me keep those children as much as possible? Please let all parents keep their children and ensure that they are quiet. Ayanfe Oluwa, listen to me, you keep quiet. God will bless them. They will have a price to pay, and they will have eternal life. Those are the things that we mentioned last week. I'm not going to go to the details of what was other things that were mentioned, but those four things are the key things that we spoke on last Sunday. And today, I want to continue from there. Like I've mentioned, I will be talking on divine visitation for a better service. Divine visitation for a better service. Divine visitation for a better service. The message of this morning is not, I'm not going to preach. I will just try to encourage us as we go to the end of this year. I will encourage us, prepare our mind for the coming year 2019. Preparing our mind, preparing our heart for a greater tomorrow, for what God is about to do in our life in year 2019. And when we look at the scriptures, there is always a divine encounter. When God is about to bless somebody, he will visit them. And when we talk about visitation could mean anything. Whenever God intends to visit someone or even a nation, God normally links the visitation with something. In the book of Luke chapter 1 that we read, Luke chapter 1, you hear me? Luke chapter 1 from verses 5. Luke chapter 1 from verses 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah. There was in the day of Herod, the king of Judah. And I asked myself, why would God introduce that particular place, that particular verse with in the days of Herod? Why Herod? If there's no Herod in that scripture will still read well. But I realized that when God wants to visit somebody, God always links it with something so that it will be impossible for that person to forget what God was about to do. And like I've said, in this year, some of us, we might have passed through so many things, good time and bad time. And I want to tell you, the reason why you are passing through those things is because God wants to do something. God wants to visit you so that your tomorrow will be better than what it is today. And that is what we can see in that scripture. God decided to visit this man called Zechariah. But he does it when Herod, the king, was ruling. And many a times, God visits people in the same manner. And I remember in those days, in the village, when some people were born, there is no date, nobody to write anything. But they always say somebody was born when something happened, because there was no record. And up to today, if that thing happened, I know one of my junior sisters was born in 1968. And each time they will say she was born 8 days to the time that somebody died. And because of that, we were able to know her date of birth. because there was nobody to write her date of birth down. But somebody was there that knows that this lady was born 8 days to the dates that somebody died who was popular in the village. So because of that, we know our date of birth. And so, in many cases, when God wants to visit people, he tried to link it with something. And in this case, when God wants to visit Zechariah, it was tied, it was linked to the time that King Herod ruled. And why do they mention the time there? Why then does in the time of Herod included in this passage? Because like I've said, we can read that passage without that. One thing we need to recognize from this scripture is Luke was giving an account of what happened, what he witnessed. If we read from verses 1 to 5, he was trying to give an account of what he had witnessed. He was giving an account of what he had and what he has researched about. Remember, Luke is not just an ordinary man, he's a doctor. And he's a knowledgeable man that has to find the truth about what somebody have said about Jesus Christ or about what has happened in that period. So this man investigated some things, made research, and came up with his own story of what happened, what he witnessed. And he linked it to what happened during the reign of King Herod. Mentioning the time of King Herod is an indication of date. It's telling us about dates, and we will remember, or if we don't know, I'm saying it, that King Herod the Great ruled Palestine and part of Transjordan as king of Israel, of Jews, from 37 to 4 BC. That is what time he reigned. And it was this time that God visited Zechariah. And when we look at the scripture, there are other instances in the Bible when specific events were linked to a special visitation. For example, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The question is, why did God visit Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died? There was a divine encounter here, as we are going to see later. God visited Isaiah in a special way in the year that King Uzziah died. There's nothing so much about King Uzziah in this passage. King Uzziah is not special in this passage. What is special is the fact that God visited Isaiah. Isaiah had an encounter with God. He had a divine encounter with the Almighty. And the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah will never forget the time the hand of God was upon him. He will never forget the time that he had an encounter with God, a divine visitation, because it was in the year that King Uzziah died. The key issue here is the divine visitation to Isaiah in regard to what God was about to do in his life. And many of us today, the Lord will visit us in a special way that we will not forget this time. This is the time we are celebrating Jesus Christ. As somebody asked me of recent, a lady was asking me, it was a Muslim. He said, why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we decide to choose 25 as the day to celebrate Christmas? And I was trying to explain to her, why we do that. And he said, well, now he now understood it. He know what it means. He said, but there was no specific date when Jesus was born. Why then do we celebrate it? But I told him, there are so many things. There are so many reasons why we do that. I explained to her the fact that Jesus is came to save the world. Jesus came to give life. Jesus came that we may have abundant life. You see, I remember in those days when we pray, we used to use this particular part of the scripture to pray. People will say, any King Uzziah in my life must die. King Uzziah will not die because there's nothing that is wrong with King Uzziah in this passage. People will say, in the name of Jesus, King Uzziah in my life that will not allow me to have my breakthrough. Die! King Uzziah will not die. This passage was just linked to King Uzziah. So that the divine encounter that Isaiah had will never be forgotten. And I think the right prayer would have been, Lord, do something in my life that I will never forget an encounter that I'm having with you. That should be our prayer. Because that is what God did for Isaiah. He had a divine encounter with God. Another example is the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1. God did something there as well that was tied to an event. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Why the day of Pentecost? That is the question. Why not any other day? God could have done what he did on that day at any other day. But God specifically chose the day of Pentecost for a purpose. And today, we still celebrate the day of Pentecost. We still celebrate the day of Pentecost because it was a special day. It was a day that the disciples had an encounter with Almighty God. It was a day that God visited them. It was a day that they received power to do mighty things. It was a day that heaven opened upon them. It was a day that they experienced the hand of the Almighty God. And I pray that this morning, as this year is coming to an end, we will have a divine visitation from God Almighty in the mighty name of Jesus. In all these examples, we realize that God visits people for a purpose. This morning, my brother has led us in a special prayer. And I was just thanking God when he was leading us. When we look at the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, we find that God's visitation is always with a purpose, with reasons. God will not just visit you just for visiting's sake. He's going to visit you because he wants to do something in your life. Many of us will pray, God, visit me, visit me, visit me. And the question God will always ask you is this: if I visit you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to use my visitation for? God wants to visit us for a better service, for a better tomorrow. And when I'm talking about tomorrow, I'm talking about the year 2019. God will visit us as a church so that we can experience his mighty hand, so that we can go forth and preach the gospel, so that we can go forth and heal the sick, so that we can go forth and sow the praise of God, so that we can show the world that our God is alive. God wants to visit us so that we can be his witness on this heart. And if we go back to where we started from, the visitation of Zechariah, we realize from the scripture that we read that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they were not known. And when we look at the scripture, we find that there was no mentioning of their name even before this time. Go and read your Bible. There was no place in the scripture where their name were mentioned, Zechariah and Elizabeth, before this time. But from the scripture, Luke chapter 1, from verses 5, there are a few things we can get there. Let's just read a little bit. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah. So we know from here that Zechariah was a priest of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So go back. So both of them, go back to verse 5. So both of them, they came from a priest lineage. And the Bible says there that Zechariah was of the division of Abijah. What do we mean by division? We find out from the scripture that David divided these people in the book of Chronicles chapter 24. This is where the story, First Chronicles chapter 24. These were the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar, and so on and so forth. And David did this one, did this thing. Go first to verse 8 and 10. The third to Harim, the fourth to Serion, the seventh to Hakob, the eighth to Abijah. And this is where the division came from. So, Zechariah belonged to the eighth division. When David did this in the book of, in the book of First Chronicle. So, Zechariah was of that division. He was of the priestly division of Abijah. And I've mentioned the division was done when David divided the families of Aaron into 24 groups. The descendant of Abijah was the number 8, as we have read from First Chronicle chapter 24, verse 10. Each division performed duty in the temple in rotation twice a year because there are 24. 24 multiplied by 2 will give us 48. And in a year, we have 52 weeks. So each division can only perform their own duty twice in a year. And each period of their duty lasts for 1 week. At this period, it was the turn of Abijah family to burn incense. And the Lord fell on Zechariah. I'm just giving us the preamble, what led to this encounter. The privilege of burning incense was permitted only once in the lifetime of any priest. So it was an honor for Zechariah to be chosen to burn the incense, because that is the only option. That is the only time he will have the opportunity to do that. And it was in this process that this man called Zechariah had visitation with the Almighty God, angelic visitation. An angel appeared to him and declared to him a change of story. As God will appear to some of us before the end of this year and give us a change of story in the mighty name of Jesus. A change of story that will bring forth a child. A change of story that will bring forth a child that will be a delight to the nation. A change of story that will bring forth a child that will be a delight to our world. A child that will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about John. It said John was filled with the Holy Spirit even while he was in the womb. I read this thing, I was amazed. As if I've never read it before. Let's look chapter, go down. Let's look at a few verses there. Go down. I've mentioned all these things. Go down, please. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worship were praying outside. Go down. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Go down. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are going to give him the name John. It will be a joy and a delight to you, not only to his family. It will be a delight to many nations, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take a wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." That is what God can do in the life of somebody when he decided to visit that person. God decided to visit this man, and not only visiting him, he visited him and he did something that will change the whole world. And we all know what the man John did. It was mightily use of God. It was mightily use of God. He brought forth a sign that was a blessing to the nations of the world. And he brought many to the kingdom of God. As we have read in the book of Luke chapter 2 from verse 14 to 17. Again, if we go back to the book of Isaiah, I made three examples before. I'm just taking those examples one by one. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, we also find that God visited Isaiah because of the special assignment he has for him. Isaiah 6:8 tells us, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for me? And I said, here I am, send me." When God decided to visit a man, like I've mentioned earlier, God will not visit you because he just wants to visit you. God will visit you because he has got an assignment for you. And many of us, God has got assignment for us, but we are not ready for that assignment. And that is the reason why we have not experienced the hand of God. That is why we have not experienced the visitation of the Almighty God. Again, when we look at the Acts chapter 2 that we read, the visitation of the apostles on the day of Pentecost was for a purpose. They were filled with the Holy Spirit for a reason. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Give us that reason. The Bible says that, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world." This is the reason why God visited the apostle on the day of Pentecost. God visited them for a purpose, for a particular reason. And the reason is to go out and preach the gospel. And we saw what followed. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2, if we start reading from verses 14 downward, we will see the manifestation, what God did. When God visited a man, there will always be a manifestation. The power of God will follow them. But I want us to read Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 41. Acts chapter 2, from verse 37 to 41. Acts 2, 37. When the people heard this, that was after the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he started talking. He started preaching. He started ministering to the people. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostle, "Brother, what shall we do?" And I pray this will be your prayer this morning. This will be your prayer this morning. You will ask God, "Lord, what else do you want me to do for you in year 2019? They heard the word and they were cut to the heart and said, "Peter and other apostles, what shall we do?" Verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Go on. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that particular day. That was a divine visitation. 3,000 people got born again on that day because God decided to visit them. What a mighty power. What a mighty visitation. What a change of life. What a change of things. If we look at all these scriptures, all these examples, we see one common thing, that your personality, where you come from, your age does not matter. God does not take that into account. When look at Zechariah. Zechariah was an old man, and God visited him. Many of us here, we are still very, very young. And even our fathers that are elderly ones here, they are still young, doing the work of the Almighty God. I was told last week that they are going to the U.S., not just going to a joint, they are going to do evangelism. I was really touched. I went back home and I was thinking to myself, I need to do something. Year 2019, I must do something for God. God has called us. God is giving us anointing for a reason. God will not just visit us for visiting us sake. God will visit you so that you can go forth and do what he asks you to do. And I pray that as we go into the year 2019, year 2019 will be a memorable year for all of us in the mighty name of Jesus. It's going to be a year of reference point for God. It shall be a year of visitation for enlargement. A year that God will take us to a new level. A year that God will shape our story. A year of visitation for divine purpose and assignment. A year of fresh commissioning. God commissioned Isaiah. He gave him what to do. A year that God will raise the foundation of our ministry. A year that God himself will open door for us. A year that God will break boundaries. A year that God will break barriers. A year that we are going to flourish and be multiplied. A year that God will do mighty things in our life. However, there are things we need to do. When God is about to take you into the next level, he will purge you. He will do some cleaning in your life. He will do some changes in your life. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. Isaiah 6, 5 to 7. We see what God did with Isaiah. Isaiah 6, 5 to 7. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilty is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom shall go for me? And I said, here I am, send me. God will do something. God has to clean some mess in our life if we want him to visit us in this year 2019. God, we have to take some things out of our life so that we can be what he wants us to be. He is the potter, we are the clay. We should allow God to mold us the way he wants. We should allow God to change our life. We said last week, if God wants to visit somebody, if God wants to use somebody, God will interrupt their lives. We must allow God to interrupt our life in year 2019. There are so many things that we do and we've not totally surrendered to God. Sometimes it is our job. You cannot leave your job. But remember, if you want God to use you in year 2019, it will interrupt your job. It will interrupt your career. It will visit you and it will use you. There are many of us we know. We don't need a prophet to tell us that we have the anointing of God upon our life. But we've not released ourselves to God. We've not released ourselves to God. And I'm saying this as we go this year, you have responsibilities. One, don't quench the power of enlargement. Don't quench what God wants to do in your life. Two, you have to travail for the new birth of new transformation. Three, you must be ready to stand for Jesus, even in the time of challenges. And four, don't let fear kill your faith and vision. Many of us, we know we have the anointing. We know we have the grace. We know we have what it takes to do the things of God. But fear has not allowed us to do what we're supposed to do. And I remember this book that I've read I think that was around 1986 or so, T.L. Osborne says, fear and insecurity dominate a life where faith has been surrendered. When you surrender faith, then fear will come in. And as we go this year, we must let fear go. We must surrender to God. We must say, God, here I am. Use me. God will visit us. There's no doubt about it. God will bless us. God will bless us physically. He's going to bless us materially, financially. God will bless us. But we have responsibilities. We have things that we have to do for God. We have to surrender to him totally. We have to say, God, here I am, use me. And let me just tell you something. God is not looking for a perfect man. Don't say, I'm not a pastor. I've not been to Bible college. I've not been to this. I've not been to that. If you go to Bible college, what you are going to be taught will may not be different from what you already know. I've attended Bible college. I know what they taught there. At least the one that I've attended. So it's not going to, it's the anointing of God that you need upon your life. It's the visitation of God that you need upon your life. And not that you do not only need the visitation of God, because God will do his own part. Our own part is to respond to the call of God upon us. And this morning as we close this service, the question you should ask yourself is this: am I ready? Can I say like Isaiah, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. This should be our prayer. This should be our aspiration as we go into year 2019. We should reflect on what we have done for God for this year. We should reflect how we've walked with God. How far have we walked with God? The anointing of God upon your life, upon my life, how far have I used them? But I can guarantee you that in this year, as we go to year 2019, the Almighty will visit you. Will do something great in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Shall we stand up as we take this song together?